This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. It is now 7:46 in the morning, Tuesday the 7th of July, and we're taking a look at the subject of foreign workers, which is also the poll that we're running this morning, asking the question, is this the right time to freeze the hiring of foreign workers? You still have about an hour to vote, but do let us know what you think. You know, you have three options: yes, not now after recovery, not necessary at all. But in the meantime, you know, last month, the government did decide to suspend the hiring of foreign workers until the end of the year. And, you know, we've also had this conversation earlier this month where we spoke to the labour economist, Dr. Nias Azadullah, on the implications of the policy when it was first announced and whether it would help solve unemployment. You can listen to that conversation on the BFM app or on Spotify. But let's also have a look at it from the employer's point of view as to how this policy is playing out. And for that, we speak to Datuk Shamsuddin Baradan, President of the Malaysia Employers Federation. Now, thank you for being on the show, Datuk. Now, are employers badly affected by this freeze on hiring of new foreign workers?
Of course, generally speaking, the freeze in the new intake of foreign workers will not impact very much the general sectors of economy. And this is basically based on the fact that currently, we have a situation where there are a lot of excess of staff for the time being. And sectors that are, of course, facing some shortages currently are those in the plantation sector and also manufacturers that manufacture health-related equipments and products, such as those companies manufacturing PPEs and related matters.
Doctor, was there any engagement with employers prior to the announcement of the freeze?
Unfortunately, no. But of course, I think the government just look at the current market situation where the unemployment figures are quite worrying in the sense that currently we have about 5% unemployment, and that is about 788,000 people are without any employment currently. And of course, the government need to take drastic measures in trying to give priority of employment to the locals.
So how are employers in these sectors coping? What alternatives do they actually have to fill in the gap then?
For the plantation sector especially, it's going to be very hard for them to take alternative measures. Because in the plantation sector, locals are really not interested to work within the sector. This is not based on low salary, things like that, but it's more like the social stigma of being working in the plantation sector. Locals just don't want to be there, even though I think the wages and the terms and conditions are, I would say, very attractive. Wages, just as a harvester, you can earn even up to 3,000 ringgit per month. And also in the plantation sector, they provide free housing and, of course, subsidized electricity and water. But the fact is basically that for us to engage local workers is going to be, impossible currently. So what MEF actually had proposed to the government is to allow some of the foreign workers that are not required in some other sectors to be allowed to be re-engaged in the plantation sector. This means that we need to change the sector and also the employer, which is currently not allowed to be done within the within current policy. So I think the government need to really relook at that policy and quickly make the adjustment.
Well, it's quite clear that Malaysia has a heavy reliance on foreign labour in parts of the economy, like plantations. But is this simply due to the cheap labour, or which of course prevents technologisation, automation or innovation in work processes?
I would say that the general notion that foreign workers are cheap, I don't think is really true in that sense, because currently for an employer to employ a legal foreign worker is going to be very expensive. First, of course, if you look at the current situation and the current practice is that For the local side here, when an employer employ a foreign worker, the cost is nothing less than 10,000 ringgit. And in the event, say for example, they come from the source country like Bangladesh, there'll be additional cost of even up to 20,000 ringgit per pax. And this, of course, the international community expect the Malaysian employer to bear that cost. And even if the worker come from Indonesia, the additional pack can be something like even up to 18,000 ringgit. Yeah, so to say that the foreign workers are cheap, I don't think is really true. But of course, in certain sectors of the economy, you know, the employers has no choice but to engage foreign workers because the local workers are really just don't want to be within those sectors. In fact, when you talk about employing foreign workers, it's not really the employer's choice, but we are just being trying to fill up the gap where the local workers just refuse to work in those sectors.
Now, Dato, estimates suggest that undocumented foreign workers could outnumber documented workers 2-1. So in this regard, don't employers shoulder some of the blame for the large number of undocumented migrant workers in Malaysia?
I think for the legal foreign workers, those with proper working passes, I don't think there are major issues about the living conditions. Most employers had taken the necessary steps to make sure that their living conditions actually made up with the standards as being set by the government. But I believe all the negative reports about the lower living standards are mostly associated with people who don't have the legal permit to work in Malaysia. In fact, you see at some of the reports, they say that they put the workers say 30 of them in a small room kind of thing, which is, of course, not conducive. And basically, of course, this issue need to really be addressed by the government on how they actually manage the illegals in the country. And of course, when you talk about illegals, their numbers are really huge. And of course, this is something that the government need to address quickly so that in a situation where we have this COVID-19 thing like that, the disease will be able to be controlled, especially among the illegal foreign workers. So I would say as far as the legal foreign workers, the legal requirements about giving appropriate accommodation are all being met up by the employers.
Yeah, Dato, before we let you go, do you think there's a problem with the way migrant workers are being perceived right now?
Of course, I think basically, of course, especially when you talk about what happened during the COVID-19 thing like that, especially during the MCO, CMCO, there were a lot of resentment on the presence of foreigners, yeah, whether they are legal or illegal, because the public thought that they are really the source of spread of COVID-19. And of course, sometime it is also, you know, with some validity that the public have that kind of opinion because those people who are illegals and detained at the detention centers, they created new clusters, things like that. And of course, that caused a lot of worry as far as the locals are concerned. And I think this is where I think we need to have a really holistic policy so that actually this kind of resentment may not be recurring in future. And of course, we also need to be fair to the foreign workers, especially the legal ones, because they also did contribute to our GDP. And of course, their contribution is something like around 4-5% of our GDP, basically. So, of course, what is due is due. And I think due recognition has to be given to these people who actually had assisted in our economic growth.
Thank you for your time. That was Datuk Shamsuddin Bardan, President of the Malaysia Employers Federation, or otherwise known as MEF. Now, I think we talked about this foreign workers issue a few times, one of which, of course, has been on the plantation sector, because we always thought, okay, automation is the way to go, right? You know, that's the solution to our problems, but not necessarily so. And that was something that was informed to us by Ko Yu Ling, who is an independent political economist with Silgi Anam Advisors, where she tells us that cutting the fruits or bringing down those fruits is not an easy task. And because the land is undulating, you can't really use automation. So you can listen to that podcast titled Demand is the Real Issue on the BFM app or on Spotify. But in the meantime, looking at this question of whether employers should continue to use foreign workers. I think it's a structural issue Malaysia face. And it's not something that is new, because Bank Negara did issue a report in 2018. And, you know, as far as the economics department is concerned, they question our reliance on low-skill, and this is the word, low-skilled foreign workers and its key macroeconomic cost to economy. Because the argument is, if there's unchecked reliance on foreign workers, we're going to be promoting low-skilled job creation, which then deters productivity enhancement. And this is the main point. It depresses overall pay, among others. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we don't need foreign workers. And it's also important how we treat them.
Yeah, it's true. And of course, we at some point in time, the Asian economic community will come into play. And within the 13-member fold, there's a lot of underdeveloped and let's call a spade, poor countries, whether it's Laos or Cambodia, that does have a huge swath of people that would like to have jobs in richer countries like Malaysia. But on the subject of the middle income trap, which I think you're referring to, Malaysia does have a problem with that, right? And we are still very much reliant on the production side of things, where we are still growing, we're still producing, we're still picking fruit bunches. And as we know, plantations are very, very land hungry, very real estate hungry, whereas there could be more money and more value to be derived from the downstream processes, right? Where you take the valuable oils, you produce them and you produce goods and services around it, and then there could be much more higher value products around it, and you don't have to use so much land. But we're still stuck in that realm where we use a lot of thousands of acres of land to produce. And you know, we can let Indonesia be the producers, we can let them be the growers, we can go downstream, but we haven't. And it's because it's still so lucrative and we are not that ambitious, generally speaking, to go and do these things.
So the question is, does COVID-19 then actually give us an opportunity for that, what we call the big reset, right? The path towards higher productivity and automated jobs. And I think that's something that we should really be considering. But we're about to head into the 8 a.m. news bulletin, and after that, the breakfast grill, where amidst the volatility in markets, I'm going to have a little nice conversation with the executive director of Reservoir Link, Mr. Tian Chet Chai, on the rationale of their IPO. Stay tuned for that happening in a few minutes. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.